Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 to 33. I will read the even-numbered verses and ask you to read the odd-numbered verses as we go through the end of the chapter. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything.
Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her.
That he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word.
That he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish.
So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself.
For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church.
For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones.
For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother, and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh.
This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church.
Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband.
Thank you, Lord, for giving us your word on living, on family, on relationships. Pray that we would pay attention, not get defensive, but change if we need to comply with your word. And we ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. In order for things to function properly in anything in life, we need authority and submission to authority. You don't just go to work in the morning and do what you want to do. There's authority and submission to authority. There's headship and submission to headship. Jesus the Son submitted to the Father, to the authority of the Father, and he's our example. If you look at John 6, verse 38, John chapter 6, verse 38, Jesus acknowledges that, and that's how we should be. John 6, verse 38, he said, "For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me." He says, "I've come to do the will of him who sent me." Our highest supreme authority is God the Father. And there's authority and submission to authority. Now, we've been studying, as we have in verse 17 a couple weeks ago, about don't be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. We've been talking about praying and understanding what is the will of the Lord. We've gone over that, what we need to do that, the place we need to be, so that we can understand the will of the Lord. Because when we understand the will of the Lord, we're in the best place we can be in life. And we've gone over that. You know, Jesus prayed, "Nevertheless, your will be done," in the garden. And so there's this submission to God to be in the will of God. The Bible is full of how to be in the will of God. And he's given them some practical application today. How to be in the will of God in your home. It's not a mystery. It's documented. If you don't do it, you're not in the will of God and you've got trouble. If we live according to God and his will, we're blessed. There's one thing that stands between the will of God and the will of God in my life, and that is called me. That's what stands in the way. Pride, arrogance, control, all these things. Now, I think we agree in God's will is the best place to be. Not mine, but God's. Now we're going to get into God's will and authority and submission in the home, in the family unit. Next week we cover children and parents in the next chapter. But today he covers husbands and wives, the marriage. Isn't that great? just so we know how to live. Remember, God instituted marriage and not man. Man doesn't make the rules. Our feelings don't make the rules. What I think doesn't make the rules. God makes the rules, not man. God instituted marriage in Genesis chapter 2. And each one must submit to God's will in marriage for the home to be peaceful. Now, when we speak of authority and submission, headship and obedience to headship, we're not talking about, God's not talking about one person being better than the other. I don't know why people get so defensive. You probably know more than your boss, but he's the boss. And you do what they say or the company doesn't function. Right or wrong, at least it's functioning and you're getting paid. But if everybody did what they thought was right, nothing would get done. Because as soon as you start to do it, they say, that's not right. So there's authority and submission to authority. Doesn't mean one's smarter than the other, better than the other, more godly than the other. God doesn't prefer or favor one over the other. It's not about that at all. Some people you share with, wives submit to your husbands and they're out of there. They're out of that office. Well, not going to go very well for you. It's all about God's will for your life. First of all, forget about the control and the pride and who's going to do what. You got to get that out of your mind. Get out of your heads these ideas about, who's better and the way it really should be. Just what we need to do when we study these things is just be open to God and see what he has to say and say, great, that's what I want to do because I want the best for me and for God's will to be done in my life. You see, that's what we do with God's will. It doesn't require any analysis. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't what? Lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. When we read God's word, there's no analysis involved. There's no debate. There's no considering if it's good or not. It's God's word. That's it. I either obey it or not obey it. That's it. Isn't that simple? Wow. That's really simple. So get rid of trying to analyze it or consider your situation. For all of us that believe the Bible is the inspired, inerrant word of God, we just obey. So many people say, well, I believe in the word of God. But they don't believe in all of it. There are certain parts they don't agree with. It's shown by their actions. When we say we obey the word of God, we believe in the inerrant scriptures, the anointed, holy word of God, inspired word of God, we mean we believe all of it. Or you wouldn't be sure about your salvation if you didn't. Which part are you going to believe? See, it's just a matter of here's what God said and here's what I do. And if I do it, I'm blessed. God knows your situation. Your great home, your horrible home, your pain, your suffering, your joy, your blessings. He knows all of that. And yet he says, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Now in context here, Paul is speaking to Christians. He's addressing the church. And I believe everyone here is probably a Christian. These are true words, instructions for a great marriage. But I believe these words are also great for anyone, Christian or non-Christian, to have their life and home be in order. This is God's way. This is God's will. This is the way he wants it to be. Because you need authority and submission to authority, not one better than the other, preferring one over the other. Now notice verse 22, wives submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. We're talking about husbands and wives, married people, not living together, but married as the Bible commands. That's what we're talking about. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians 6, please. Therefore, it's very important when a Christian gets married to marry another Christian, to be equally yoked. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness, and what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial or Satan, or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? He says, don't be unequally yoked. And this is taken from the Old Testament where they would yoke two oxen to plow a field. You don't put an oxen with something else. They would go in different directions or wouldn't pull the same way in order to get that field right. We are yoked together, two oxen together, so you get the job done. And that's the way it's to be. So, you know, when you get married, if you're not married, make sure you're equally yoked. Now, if you're already married to an unbeliever, you know, an unbelieving wife or husband, the word is also for you to obey it, to stay together. That's what he wants you to do. That's God's will. That's God's word. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 7. 1 Corinthians 7. And you can read the whole chapter on your own at home on your own. There's a lot about the marriage in here, 1 Corinthians 7. You know, and in the first part, he talks about not living together, verse 2. Nevertheless, because of sexual immorality, and that's what it is, because of sexual immorality, let each man have his own wife and let each woman have her own husband. So you're married. But then when you get down to verse, and he covers a lot there, but verse 16, talking about an unbelieving husband and all, he says, how do you know, O wife, whether you will save your husband, or how do you know, O husband, whether you will save your wife? By staying together, you're bringing light into the home. You know, and Peter tells the women, by your holy conduct, they will be won over. Not by words, not by adornment, by your holy conduct. You don't have to even say a lot. Let people observe your conduct and be drawn to the Lord. So he says, stay together because you don't know. I might just use you to bring that man, that woman to Christ. And so the Bible's full of how to live in the home in every situation. God instituted marriage, not man. Don't listen to a worldly counselor. Even a Christian counselor can lead you astray, a marriage counselor. Listen to God. Over the years, I've had many people come to me and says, well, this counselor said to do this and leave the person. I said, that's not in the Word of God. Show me the Scripture. There's no grounds. And I had people that have gotten divorced and says, wow, married to this other woman, my first wife was better. Well, too bad. You shouldn't have done it. You know, we can laugh about it, but this is serious things to people. If you obey God's word, you will be blessed. He'll honor your obedience. Forget your pride, your arrogance, your mind, your thinking, yourself, your flesh, and just obey God's word. That's what we all need to do in every area of life. It's very simple being a Christian. We're the ones in the way. Just obey God's word. The point is, are you and I ready to lay our life down for another person, if need be? Are we willing to do that like Jesus did for us? When Jim was a rotten wretch, sinning, God loved me so much, he sent his son to die on the cross for me. I'm glad he didn't give up on me. I'm glad he didn't divorce me. And God said, I don't want to do anything with you anymore. But he loved me. And he showed it. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Some women might say, what? You know, want to know how you do it? Last part of the verse. As to the Lord. Look right past your husband and see Jesus. You're following him. Do you want to make the Lord happy? Submit to the Lord. Then submit to your husband. Look right past your husband, because it might be hard for you, a hard situation, but do it to the Lord. It should be a joy if your husband, because there's a second part for the husbands here. So look to the Lord. Whatever we do, it tells us in the Bible, do it unto the Lord. That makes it easier. That's how you can love your enemies, by looking past that enemy to the Lord and saying, this is what you want me to do. And I'm pleasing you when I do it. And Lord's saying, well done, thou good and faithful servant. When you get to heaven, no one on earth may have even known your name, never even knew that you shared the gospel with a person, but you might get to heaven and see this great mansion, and you're going to say, what? When did I do all of this? And God's going to say, you did it to one of these, you did it unto me. You obeyed your husband, you obeyed my word, and you loved that man. It was so unlovable. And you took care of these children that were so rebellious. And you worked day and night just to see that things were met in the home. And you did this and that. You say, wow, but I just did it, Lord. And you say, yeah, you did it unto me. And I know, and I saw, and I know what you did. Those are the saints. Those are the real saints. Not the ones you hear about. Those are the holy ones. That day to day, obey God's word and do these little details in life and forget about themselves. We probably all have mothers or somebody in our life that we can think of that did this and say, wow. When you get older, you realize, wow, what they did for me. They were there, always there. They're the great ones in heaven, the mansions, because they loved. And they stuck it out. So wives, submit to your husbands as unto the Lord. See, if the Lord Jesus personally, audibly told you today to do something, would you do it? If we heard his voice right now, would you do it? Well, look right past your husband and do it unto the Lord, because this is the Lord's voice right here. Wives, submit to your husbands as unto the Lord. You're hearing his voice right now. Now, that's kind of sad if we walk out of here and don't do it, isn't it? You know, you will be blessed and your husband will be blessed. When you obey verse 22, when I obey verse 22 and I do it unto the Lord, with a pure heart and a heart of love, then my wife is blessed. Because I'm not doing it out of constraint. Oh, I've got to do this. I've got to love him. I've got to take care of him. I've got to submit to him. No, you do it out of love. Love for the Lord and then love for that person. That's how you do it. You know, when the husband is walking with the Lord, he makes it a lot easier and more pleasant for the wife to do it. And you can all say, amen. You know, when he's walking with the Lord, I'll admit it's a lot easier. A lot easier to do it. That's why it's so important for men to be godly men, to get that home in order, because you're in charge of other people. It's a lot more pleasant for the wife to do it. They just naturally submit because they know you're going to take care of them. See, this is the authority God set up for the family. God first, husbands over the home, then the wife and the children. And when we do this, it works. Because, verse 23, for the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. He says, you know, who's the head of the church? Jesus Christ. Then he says, okay, the husband's the head of the family, the home. Okay, same. He's giving you the same idea, the example of Jesus in the church. There's always authority, and then there's earthly authority in order for things to run properly. The Lord put as the head of the house the husband. Not inferior or superior, it's just God's order. But he's not the savior of the home, he's more or less the preserver. He does what the Lord wants to do, guide the home. and be the preserver. And wives, you need to know this. Your husbands may make mistakes. They will make mistakes. But God will take care of you as you obey. Oh, well, I don't know if I can trust this guy. Would you rather run things or please God? Don't be afraid of mistakes. If we so trust God and we do things as to the Lord, He'll work it out. I'm sure there's many situations in my life where my wife probably said, whoa, that's a little scary. A lot of things. Whoa, you sure you want to do that? But she's a godly woman, submitting to her husband and to the Lord. And they've all worked out through the mistakes. Why? Because God is greater than our mistakes. He's not asking for you to be perfect, just to be obedient. We need to understand that. He's not saying, you can't make a mistake, you must be perfect. He's saying, be obedient. And in that process, I will take care of you. Obedience is what the Lord desires, not sacrifice. They may make a mistake. Don't get on their case. Don't badmouth them. Don't gossip to other people. Don't discourage them. We always obey God rather than man. So if your husband would ask you to do a sinful thing, of course you don't. Because the Bible says we ought to obey God rather than man. Realistically, God has set women free by giving them someone to take care of them. God liberated women a long time ago. Not in the 60s. He liberated women a long time ago. He says, I'm giving you someone to take care of you. Pray for them that they do a good job and submit to them. And we're to obey out of love because he says, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church and he is savior of the body. Christ loves the church. He does what's good for us. So trust God and be loving. Do it as unto the Lord and just obey because he's the head of the house as Christ is the church. He's the head of the wife. Now, therefore, 24, just as the church is subject to Christ, and we obey Jesus, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Not sinful things, of course. It's okay to talk things over. You know, women can take this too far and say, well, they're just going to take advantage of me and do this and that. It's okay to talk things over, and we should be praying together, praying over decisions, reading the word together. But decisions must be made. And even if you don't have a believer, decisions must be made at one point. You talk about them. They may disagree. You may disagree. You talk about it. But there comes a point here, and this is what God is sharing, where a decision must be made. Submit to the husband as unto the Lord. But what if it's wrong? Pray that God takes care of it and watches over you and that he doesn't make a mistake. See, these things should keep a wife in prayer for her husband 24 hours a day. Ask yourself, when's the last hour I prayed for my husband? Submit to the husband. See, husbands have a big job to take care of the wife and the family, to make decisions. Women need to be humble and not seeking to be the boss, so there's not aggravation there and challenging and discontentment and disorder. We need to keep peace. And the way we keep peace is by following God's word. And so we need to watch our mouths and the dirty looks and respect each other. Verse 25, husbands, love your wives. Women are saying, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. One command Husbands, love your wives. Love them. Just love your wives. Your wife will be satisfied if you just totally love her. She'll be content. I think they'd give up the cars, the mansions, the possessions just for your total love. Because that's what satisfies a woman. Total love and commitment. Knowing they're safe, they're taken care of, secure in you because you're in the Lord, and they have love to fulfill their life. Nothing can replace love. One command, but how important, just love them, and you will bless them if you love them. And if you do love them, you won't be a dictator, a taskmaster, or hard with them, but you'll love them and you'll want to bless them and care for them. You know, we can get all the details, like you can go to a retreat or a seminar and they'll tell you all these details, read all these books. Well, do this, wake up in the morning and do this, and then do this and go to places. And you know what? Just love them. It can throw all that out. And as Jesus said, this sums up the whole law and the prophets. Love the Lord your God with your whole heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. And your wife and your husband are the closest neighbor you got. If you love someone like you love yourself, they'll be happy. Because you want to be happy. So you should want them to be happy. People skirt around this one issue and write books and do all kinds of things and make all kinds of money on trying to tell people how to live when it's one command. Just let your love flow. Die to yourself. Prefer others before yourself and love them. You'll be fine. Loving God with your whole heart and your mate as with your whole heart. You'll have a wonderful life because nothing can quench love. Nothing can take the place of love. It's actually all about love, for God so loved the world. What prompted him to do it? He so loved the world that he was willing to give up his only begotten son. That's how great love is. It's not about all these details on how to love. You love or you don't love. And that's our control, under our control. You see, and how do we love them? Verse 25, as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. Wow. That tells me it's unconditional and sacrificial. That's pretty good. That's a good kind of love. Unconditional and sacrificial. But I don't want to go there, honey. You know, I don't like those things that you like. Do it. Go along with her sometime. You'll find out after a while, hey, I like this. I don't mind going to these romantic movies. I think I like it now. Hey, honey, I'm the only guy here. What's wrong with this picture? You all do it. Just try it. Sacrifice. My love's an addictive sports fan now. When we first got married, you know, I was involved in sports, playing sports. Never watched me or anything. Just home with the girls and all, you know, just living her life. But now it's like, man, she's yelling on the couch. Just try it. You see, it's loving unconditionally and sacrificially where you do what blesses them. Well, I don't want to go eat there for lunch. I don't like that place. Maybe she does or he does. Do it. You'll be blessed. Be faithful. Lay down your life for them. See, Jesus is the authority and the head of the church. He gave his life for it. He isn't harsh with the church or demeaning or demanding, but he's loving. Loving to the point of death, the death on the cross, for the church's benefit. You see, love is demonstrated toward an object. Let your object be your husband or your wife. Show affection. Tell her you love her. Well, I told her last year or when we got married. No, tell her you love her. Well, I gave her a card. No, tell her you love her. I guarantee you they never get tired of it. Never get tired of it. Tell her you love her. Try it 10 times today after you leave here. You know, let's turn to Genesis 29. Love gives, and it doesn't even count how much it costs to give. Genesis 29. You know the story of Laban and Rachel and Jacob? You know, he went back there and saw Rachel and wow. Look at verse 17. Leah's eyes were delicate. He had these two daughters, Laban. But Rachel was beautiful of form and appearance. Now, Jacob loved Rachel, so he said to her dad, I will serve you 7 years for Rachel, your younger daughter. You know what I'll do? I love this gal so much. I'll work for you on your farm here 7 years for her. Look at the next verse. And Laban said, it is better that I give her to you than I should give her to another man. Stay with me. So Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed only a few days to him. Why? Because of the love he had for her. This is a beautiful story of a love story. Jacob and Rachel. He worked 7 years for this hard taskmaster, and it seemed only like a few days. Why? Because of the love he had for her. That's nothing. I get you in the end, honey. I come out good in this deal. He loved her. So we don't count days or years or how many times I did something. We want to be at that point saying, yeah, it does nothing. Like a few minutes. Man, it's great. I'm with you. That's love. Unconditional. Sacrificial. Husbands, Jesus is your example. Look at the love that he has for you. You know, we need to be sensitive to our wives. Be nice to them, love on them. Verse 26, and that Jesus did this that he might sanctify and cleanse her, the church, with the washing of water by the word. It speaks here how are we cleansed? By the word of God. That's the example. We are cleansed through the word. It refreshes us, it purifies us. Husbands, the example is, wash your wife in the word. That's how we've been cleansed by the Lord. You want to keep your wife cleansed in the word, washed in the word. Husbands need to be the spiritual leader in the home. And we can't say, well, I'm not smart enough or I can't do this. You just do it. Just do it. And when you read, you might mispronounce words because you're not as strong a Christian as your wife is. And wives, don't make fun of them. Let them do it. Give them some slack. Read and pray together. And just pray for yourself to be a good leader. You just do it. And you wash your wife in the word. And you both are in the word daily. So that you might present her to himself, to Jesus, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. We want our lives to be cleansed by the word and be holy and acceptable in God's sight. So we need to keep them in the word and in fellowship. See, God in marriage joins a man and woman together, and he says, the two shall become one flesh. So you're both growing close to the Lord as you're doing this. And you're presenting them clean because you're in the word and you love her. You know, verse 28, so husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. We're to love our wives as our own body. See, when God says the two shall become one, when you're taking care of yourself, you got to make sure you're taking care of your wife also, because she's part of your body, just like your arm or your leg. There's your body and her body, and you want her to be spiritually well, getting what she needs and the love that she needs. You know, you love your wives as your own body. Now, do you love yourselves? And there'll be those men who say, no, I don't love myself. Oh, really? Did you look in the mirror before you came to church today? Did you make sure you looked all right and dressed up and fixed your hair and brushed your teeth and everything else? Whether you know it or not, you love yourself. Everybody here loves themselves. You don't wake up in the morning and say, I don't care what, I look like I'm going out there. Ah, you know. No, you kind of get things in order and you love yourself. Do the same for your wife. Do the same for your wife. You don't really hate your flesh. Verse 29, no one ever hated his own flesh, but you nourish it and you cherish it, just as the Lord does the church. And so he's giving the example of Christ in the church. He's saying, you need to nourish and cherish your wife. Nourish her. Feed her the word of God. Buy her chocolate. Nourish her. Cherish her. You clean up, you dress up, you want to look presentable, that's the way you want your wife to be. You take care of yourself, then take care of your wife. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and his bones. We're members of one body in Christ, and you and your wife, and you and your husband are one body. The Lord has joined you together. Jesus takes care of his church. We are to take care of one another because we're one flesh. And then Paul quotes from Genesis, verse 31. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother, be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. You see, we are brought up by parents, but when one gets married, the relationship changes. You leave and you cleave. This is the closest human relationship God has ordained. A husband and a wife. You're no longer dependent on the parents. The couple leaves and they become one unit and they love now and take care of one another. They become dependent on each other like one flesh. That's a great responsibility, you see. But that's what God has called us to. This unit is tighter than any unit here on earth. And we're to love and care for one another. We leave and we cleave. And we can't let in-laws get in the way of our decisions because we should be getting our decisions from the Lord. We're put together, and now it comes from the Lord as we're joined together, washed in the Word. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ in the church. He speaks of this wonderful truth, and it's a mystery. See, the mystery of Jesus Christ in the church was a mystery in the Old Testament. We've said the word mystery means a truth previously not known, but now revealed in the New Testament. That's what it speaks of when it says mystery. This truth of the church and Jesus being the head of it was unknown in the Old Testament. And so is this being the two joined together. You know, it's just the same kind of a mystery. You're one. You're just one. Like you live as one unit, taking care of one another. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. So husbands, love your wives. Give her the attention you would give to yourself. Can you ever love your wife too much? No. You can never love your wife too much. Love her, cherish her, nurture her, and be the spiritual leader. Don't rail on her, demean her, roll your eyes on her, ignore her, but love her and talk to her. That's God's will. Just do it. Don't wait for the other party to change. These commands to the wife are unconditional, to the husband unconditional from God. But my husband, when he does that, then I'll do this. That's not what it says in here. It doesn't say husbands love your wives when they start loving you and being submissive. It doesn't say that in my Bible. It might in this new current Bible that you're coming out with to go on with the 21st century, but not in my Bible. And God's word never changes. Unconditionally, wives do that. Unconditionally, husbands do that. Don't wait for the other person to change. The big thing is we change. And we do what we're supposed to do. Watch a miracle take place as you do this. Maybe you're frightened, fearful. Just do it. Wives, respect the authority God has set up and respect your husband. Don't put him down. Don't talk down to him. Don't talk bad about him. Don't challenge him. Respect him. And most of all, pray for a heart to do this. Let's close with this, Colossians chapter 3. Turn ahead to Colossians chapter 3. Verse 17. Here's God's will for the home. Verse 17, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Wives, submit to your own husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and do not be bitter toward them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. God, thank you for